On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Mark Haney. Cincinnati's an amazing place to live and visit for lots of reasons, according to Wendy Beckman. From architectural masterpieces like Music Hall to limitless local varieties of Geta. In her latest book, Eight Wonders of Cincinnati, the award-winning author writes about the things that reveal the city's unique character. What do you think makes Cincinnati unique? What do you think, what do you consider to be one of the eight wonders of Cincinnati? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon, Wendy. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So you've done a lot of different books, but this is the second one on Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. My seventh book was Founders and Famous Families of Cincinnati, and this is my ninth book. And the eighth book was a history book of the University of Cincinnati's College of Nursing. So that's another history book.
So what inspired you to do this particular book, Wendy?
This one came about kind of a funny way. I was making a presentation about my other, the famous Founders book, and I was approached by a couple who said that their daughter was an illustrator and she was going to write and illustrate a book. And then it occurred to her that she was in kind of over her head and she wanted to just illustrate it. So I hooked up with her and I did the writing and she did the illustrating, and that was Allison Rainieri. So that's how I came to do this one.
So what are the eight wonders? Well, how do you do this? How did you work this out?
Well, actually, the publisher wanted to do at first it was going to be the seven wonders, you know, because of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
Right.
Yeah. And so then we ended up turning it into eight wonders. So the eight wonders are architecture, art, food, commerce, customs, geography and natural history, history, and people. And I have to use a cheat sheet so I remember what they are.
And really, this is eight categories because it's, in each category, you've got a lot of different things in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Geta being one of them, which is one of my favorite
things.
Oh,
yeah. You know, I came from New England. And when my parents first visited me here, they were so excited to try geta. And my mother proclaimed it was just like scrapple, which is a big dish in Pennsylvania.
That's what I always heard, yeah.
Yes, except we have geta has pin oats in it.
Now, I've traveled to a lot of different places, and whenever I mention geta, everybody stares at me like, what? What's geta?
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't traveled to the right places, but I can't seem to find any place else in the country that calls it geta or that identifies it the same way that we do.
No, I haven't found any other place. And even in Germany, the word geta is one word for goody or snack or something like that. So that doesn't make sense that that's where it came from, maybe. But in Germany, if you think of all the sausages and stuff that they have, it's a long tradition in many parts of Europe to take your leftover meat, your leftover whatever, and throw it in a tube and eat it later. So that's kind of how geta came about. I think it was just the housewives of Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, and with Cincinnati's German heritage, it makes sense that
exactly.
We'd have something like geta.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you mentioned, in my book, I have the recipe from my husband's maternal grandmother and his paternal great-grandmother, who was married to Leo Beckman, who was the county recorder for a long time back in the 30s.
Any idea how many different varieties of geta there are in Cincinnati?
Well, gosh, there are so many. And I found out in researching this book that there's really kind of a difference in the spices. Like, so if you put this spice in, you probably don't put this other spice in. So that's why I wanted to have both of the two grandmothers' recipes in, because they kind of cover both different types.
So we're talking about the food category here. What else in the food category is unique for Cincinnati?
Well, a big thing that's coming up in Cincinnati, it's not necessarily unique, except I think the way we do it is tacos and tapas restaurants.
Okay.
And in fact, one of my favorite places to hit is Bakersfield because they have these great tacos. And they also have a really good bourbon selection. And they have TVs on the walls that just are in a constant loop of old, like Westerns. And my husband sits there and mouths the words to all of them. So that's another one. And of course, I have Jean-Robert de Cavelle in there, and he's kind of an institution of himself, which was one of the funny things that happened when I was writing the book. Originally, the food chapter was going to be called Cuisine. And then the publisher, the editor, said, that sounds too hoity-toity for Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cuisine and Cincinnati just don't
fit
together.
No, not really.
I think he was
yeah,
right.
Especially since we lost Maisonette. So So they went and did a search and replace for everywhere it said cuisine and changed it to food. But then as I was proofreading it, they had changed Jean-Robert de Cavelle's status at the Maisonette as he was the chef de food at the...
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. So you can't
like,
do these
like
search
spell
and replace.
Check, auto exactly. check getting you.
You still need to look at it.
Yeah. So how did you come up with each of the examples that you put in each category? How did you research this?
That was a really entertaining part. A lot of it was I've lived in Cincinnati for 38 years now. And so a lot of it was just these trivial things that had come to me that people told me about. And I've been all over both sides of town. You know, I cross Vine Street frequently. So I also put a shout out on Facebook and mentioned to everybody, I'm doing a book on the eight wonders of Cincinnati. What do you think the wonders are? And that's always a great way to get a lot of input. Plus, when Mark Purcell interviewed me a few years ago for my other book about Cincinnati, people called in and said, well, why didn't you cover this? And why didn't you do this person? So that also, I have put in the Lazarus family, and I have put in Ruth Lyons. And then I heard immediately, how come you didn't put in Buddy LaRosa? I'll have to do another one.
Yeah, you're going to have to do another book. And what, was it hard to whittle down the list?
It was really hard. And in some cases, I tried to look both backward because we have such a rich history in Cincinnati, some great historical stuff. And my other book focused more on the history. But I also wanted to look in the present and looking forward to what perhaps would be the next thing on the horizon. Then also, one thing that played into what I did feature was how responsive people were in getting back to me. There are a couple of companies in town I emailed, called, contacted through their website. They never returned any of that. So I thought, okay, you don't want free advertising. I won't put you in my book.
513-419-7100. What do you think makes Cincinnati unique? What do you think should be on that eight wonders of Cincinnati list? Give us a call and let us know. 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Was there anything that really surprised you as you were putting this book together, Wendy?
There were a few things that surprised me, like I had not been a big, of course, since I didn't move to Cincinnati until 1980, I didn't know about Ruth Lyons, for example. And when I started researching her and the great impact she's had through the Children's Fund, I was able to interview a woman who had worked for her. And that was kind of neat, seeing how the 50-50 club, it was originally just 50 women who were allowed to come in and watch the show, listen to the show, expanded to the 50-50 club, and then just went crazy with the amount of impact it had.
Yeah, it is amazing, too, how Cincinnati had this big entertainment broadcasting center going back at that time.
Yeah, and so many people got their start in Cincinnati, you know, like Andy Williams and then the King's Records. And so we have a lot of music that just sprang up here. And of course, now, you know, we might think of the classical music with the symphony and music hall and the chamber orchestra and all that. So that's one of the things that I love about Cincinnati. It has the small, friendly feel of a small town, but it's got the accoutrement or all the wonderful things about a big city, the health opportunities, the sports opportunities, the museums. It's just, it's got all everything.
Let's talk some about the architecture in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
What is it about Cincinnati that gives it such unique architecture? How did this all come about?
Well, part of that was that we were settled so early, you know, in the 1700s. And some of the people who then came and settled and built up big businesses also had a feel for architecture and interest in architecture. And we were one of the big cities in the 1800s. So, for example, we have some buildings that were built by Daniel Burnham that I feature in the book. And he was the one who was featured in Eric Larson's The Devil in the White City about the Chicago World's Fair exposition. So we have some incredible work from world-renowned architects.
513-419-7100. Emily's on the line. Hi, Emily.
Hi there.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. I just wanted to add Union Terminal as one of the great architectural wonders of Cincinnati.
Oh, very yep. much. And I've got that in the book. I've got some really old pictures from when it was a train station, and it's got such a beautiful Art Deco interior where you can still see some of the ticket windows. It's just, I'm just very happy that it has been saved and rehabbed. When I first moved to Cincinnati in 1980, it was a shopping mall. Where it had like little booths and stuff like that. It was kind of fun walking down the concourse area, but that kind of foundered. And so now it's just thriving. And it's a wonderful museum, too, with three museums in one. But it's a gorgeous building. I agree with you.
Let's talk to Rabbit. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So what's on your list?
Well, I call about the eight wonders.
Uh-huh.
And I would suggest one of the wonders is Cincinnati being a musical paradise, is what I'm considering.
Yeah.
I could turn on the radio and get any type of music I want to listen to all the way back to the 30s when I was born.
You are so right about that, and many of the music opportunities that are out there now are kind of fusing some of the different music styles together, but you can hear everything, and it's almost as if it hasn't gone out of style. You know, there was a famous joke, and it's been attributed to Mark Twain, but I don't think he actually said it, about that Cincinnati was 15 years behind everybody else, but musically, we just relish and value and cherish our musical history. So, yeah, you're quite right. I agree with you.
How about the art scene in Cincinnati? That's one of our wonders, isn't it?
Oh, man, it sure is. And Cincinnati is lucky in that we are one of the few cities, fewer than a dozen, who have major art museums and major symphonies, a ballet, and all this other stuff. And we have so many art museums, the Cincinnati Art Museum, the Taft Museum, and we have all sorts of the Contemporary Art Center. So if you want to see old classical stuff, if you want to see ancient ruins that have been dug up, things like that, you can see all this. You can go to the Contemporary Art Center and see, well, contemporary wild stuff.
Brian joins us now at 513-419-7100. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I just wanted to springboard off what you guys had already said. It's what I've always loved about the area, how it has the benefits of a big town, but all of the benefits also of having a small town feel, especially where you can go to places like Old Loveland or Milford or down in Bellevue, Kentucky. So you can have this old American small town feel. And you can also drive 20 minutes north or south of the 275 loop, and you can be in farm country. And because of all of that, it kind of lends to having a great mix of people, where you can be at a bar downtown and have everything from people wearing country type clothing to hipsters and everything in between. It just makes for a great melding of a lot of people.
I agree. And I like that you brought out that you can drive 20 minutes outside the 275 loop. You can go any of the directions, really, and find yourself in a farm country. One of the things that I love seeing is up on the north side of town around the Westchester area, you'll see gorgeous house, cow field, gorgeous house. So, yeah. So some of the farms are kind of disappearing a little bit north of us, but some of them are still hanging in there. And it's a gorgeous area. One of the things that I haven't mentioned yet is the geology and the topography of Cincinnati. When I first moved here from the metamorphic Northeast, I was shocked when I was walking on fossiliferous limestone. I got very excited. I started collecting it all. Then I found out it's like all over the place.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize we were underwater at one point.
Yeah, pretty much. This used to be a sea.
Yeah. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. We've got a lot of he brought up people.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned people, and that is one of your wonders, your eight wonders about Cincinnati, is the people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of the things that I first noticed about Cincinnati, and in fact, it's kind of an embarrassing story I'll tell about myself. When I first moved here, a bunch of us were going out after work on a Friday night, and I worked third shift, so I was the first one at the restaurant, and I held a table for all of us. And a fairly large African-American man sat down at the end of the table and asked if he could sit there until the rest of my friends appeared. I said, sure. So people started coming over and pestering him for autographs and all that kind of stuff. Finally, when he had a lull, I said, "I hate to ask this, but who are you?" And he said, "I'm Isaac Curtis." And I didn't know who that was. And he said, "You don't watch football, do you?"
Bengals player. Yeah, Bengals,
yeah,
great.
When I told my mother back in Massachusetts about that, she said, "You didn't know the Iceman?"
So, well, you also, Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson.
Yeah. I had the privilege of interviewing him in person a few years ago. And it was just so neat getting to see him. And the what he has been through, what he went through playing for the UC team, the Bearcats, and when there was such a heavy color line. And there were times when he would travel with the team and he couldn't stay at the team hotel. They would find some private residence. Also, of course, I mentioned Ruth Lyons. We have just such a neat bunch of people here, brilliant people,
yeah,
friendly people.
A lot of them. Grace joins us. Good afternoon, Grace.
What churches did you include, and what was your criteria? Was it the architecture or the influence?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I didn't have a section on churches by itself. So most of the churches that are included were either because of their architecture, like St. Peter and Chains Cathedral, the Plum Temple, were because of their architecture. But then in discussing them, I also discussed some of the impact that they have had.
I wanted to ask you, too, in the people section, this one kind of caught my eye, Cincinnati politics, not exactly a person. But when I saw that, I thought that's kind of a unique thing to include in that section.
We've got such interesting politics. When I first moved here, I was so clueless about the charter rights, and I had no idea what was going on. And we've gone back and forth with city council, strong mayor, not a strong mayor, this kind of stuff. At one point, we had a mayor who was 28 years old, and I think he was 28. I have three sons in their
20s. 28? Who was that?
Yeah, 28.
Do you remember?
I'm having a brain cramp.
If you don't remember right offhand, don't worry about it. But it just it
yeah,
was 28.
He was. That's embarrassing. He was 28, and when
it happens to me all the time, Wendy.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. when I compare him to what my sons might do, ruling a whole city, I'm just amazed.
Now, Kathleen called. She wanted to know, did you include Gibson Greeting Card Company in the book, all the great writers and artists for that?
You know,
I think you had a section on commerce.
I have a section on commerce, but I don't have – I didn't include American Greetings because we have just so many different companies.
I think she said Gibson in this case. But
Not American Greetings, Gibson. We have so many companies here in town that it was really hard to narrow them down.
Sherry joins us. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I don't know. I missed part of the program, so I don't know if you've covered this, but I'd like to offer up the Ohio River itself and the developing riverfront on both sides of the river.
Oh, yeah. And you didn't miss me talking about that yet. Yeah, the Ohio River is an amazing thing. And I also include in my discussion the canals that we had, which I hadn't realized until I started researching my other history book, what a big boon to farmers that was when they put in the canals, because then the hogs didn't have to walk to market. So when they got to market here in Cincinnati, they were fatter because they were riding the canal boats. The canals and the Ohio River, of course, were some source of problems during the big cholera epidemics that we had in the mid-1800s, but both of them have been such a boon to navigation. I do have that in the book. I also mentioned how the Roebling Suspension Bridge was built during the Civil War, and I find that fascinating. And at the same time that the governor of Ohio was saying, "You can't have anything to do with Kentucky." And we're saying, "Okay, we promise," and keeping our fingers crossed behind our backs.
And building that bridge.
And building the bridge, yeah.
So, sequel? You think there's you could do another version of this?
Yeah, I think I could, because I keep finding things that I wish, like Buddy LaRosa. I don't know why I didn't put him in this one. But, yeah, I keep finding so many things I could put in.
Cincinnati's got a lot of material, a lot of rich material, doesn't
it? Oh, it sure does, yeah.
Wendy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Mark.
Wendy Beckman, her new book is 8 Wonders of Cincinnati.